All right, family, youth, ministry, and you. Remember when we talked about this Sunday, I told you I'm excited about what's going to be happening. And what I wanted y'all to be, I wanted y'all to be like this guy by the end of the sermon. I got this. How many of y'all are there? Totally, completely, 100% got it. No questions whatsoever. All right, awesome. Y'all are supposed to be talking tonight since I have it all together. All right, very good. I saw some of you raise hands, so we'll see. All right. Well, we talked about Sunday, three biblical concepts, remember? Am I working? There it is. Three biblical concepts. The church is a family of God, church labors together, and the church helps prepare youth. When we talked about these concepts have to be in place in order for this to work. All right. Now, what we're going to look at tonight is how those concepts come into play. And we're going to start with this question: what is family youth ministry? All right? We're going to start with the Bible. Is that all right? Can we start there? Let's look at Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 through 16. There's a lot here. We're going to read this and kind of break it down a little bit. And he gave some as apostles, and some as prophets, and some as evangelists, and some as pastors and teachers. How many of those do we have today? We have apostles today? Do we have prophets today? According to the biblical concept of prophets, we do not have those or apostles today, but we do have I yellerized the correct answers. So here we have yellerized evangelists, pastors, and teachers. Pastors are shepherds. Oh, there it is. I forgot I had it over there. Sorry, there's a new system. I'm trying to learn all this technology and stuff. There's screens everywhere. I could have it on a tablet. It's insane what y'all have going on over here. All right. What about here in the next verse? Verse 12. For what? For the equipping. So these guys that we have left today are for the equipping of whom? The saints. What's a saint? Us, right? Us, for the equipping of everybody. Us. Exactly. Enthusiasm, I like that. All right, for the equipping of the saints, for what? What are we equipping us for? For the work. It says here, for the work. What does your version have? What are some textual variants in words here? Ministering. Service. You know what? Ministry is service, and service is ministry. So when we talk about family youth ministry, what are we talking about? Family youth service. So when the Bible talks about service, all the saints are doing what? Yes. Ministry. So does that leave anybody out? No. Nobody's left out. Can we just say, well, it's the evangelists and the elders and the teachers? Can we say that? Biblically, we can't. I mean, technically, yes, we can say it's, but biblically, can we say that it's just their job? No, we can't biblically say that. Look at the rest of this text. There's no more yellowizing. So just, if you're waiting for that, there's no more. My technology patience wore out. Some of you are laughing at me. For the equipping of the building up of the body of Christ. So that is to the building up of the body of Christ until what? So we are to build up the body of Christ, which is us again, right? To what? Until what? Until we all attain the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God. So here's a measuring point. And we're supposed to grow up and of the knowledge of the Son of God to a mature man, to the measure and of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. So where's our measuring rod in this? We're to grow up into, somebody said, huh? Christ? Christ is our measuring rod. Has that changed? No, just in case. That's a Sunday school answer even, right, guys? That's a little kid. God, Jesus, Christ, love. Those are Sunday school small answers, right? Okay, so he's our measure. He's always our measure in everything you do. So we are to grow up in maturity like Christ. As a result, what's the result of this growing up, according to verse 14? No longer children. What happens with children? If you give a child $5 and you send them into a place to buy a toy, how many times are they going to change their mind? A lot. Now, back in the day, my granny used to give me a dollar, and a lot back then, you could get a lot with a dollar, right? Not so much anymore. You can't even buy a Coke, really, for a dollar. But $5, you might be able to get something. But they change their minds a lot. Kids are used to doing that. But what does the text say here? Children are subject to what? Trickery. Deception. And this, we're talking about children in the faith, right? Spiritually immature. We are no longer to be spiritually immature. We are to grow up. So there's a measuring rod, and we are to grow up to that maturity. We're going to grow up to be a full person. Now, that's true in nature. That's true in the secular world. That's true everywhere, right? Everywhere. But sometimes here, that's a little much, right? That's called fanaticism. Are you understanding what I'm saying? That's just too much. You know, we've got soccer, we've got this, we've got this, we've got other activities. Are the families dispersed a lot nowadays? We're getting off topic and we're getting into next week's stuff, but are families pretty much separated and divided? When we moved here, like months ago, literally months ago, and we're over here months, and there's already all these things that are so, like, my child needs this, and my child needs this, and my child needs this because they need to be in sports, and they need to be in these activities, and they need to be about music, and they need to be... What happens? They're so divided that those become more important than what's here, right? And that's easy. That is easy to do. That is easy to do. So we need to maintain our focus with our children, not just with our children, with ourselves. It's easy to get our own selves busy about many things, right? Martha, Martha. I've heard that somewhere before. I think it's in the Bible. Okay. So we're moving on here, 14. As a result, so that we're no longer. So the result of the church working together, edifying, building each other up, the result is we're growing together. We're growing together. Now, is everybody going to grow at the same rate, the same speed? No, obviously. Obviously. All right, but look at this in verse 15. But speaking the truth in love. What does that mean? Can somebody give me an example of speaking the truth in love? How about speaking the truth? Here's an example of speaking the truth. Wife to husband. Husband, you're fat. That's the truth, right? It's the truth. Speaking the truth in love. It's easier in Spanish, but I guess you could say, well, you're fat, my love, right? Bless your heart. There it is. There it is. And we use that, right? We can say whatever we want, bless their heart. All right, we're good. Okay. There it is. That's speaking the truth in love. Thank you for that. I forgot about that. Bless their heart. I'm sorry? There you go. It is. There it is. There it is. All right. Husbands, when wives ask you, does this make me look fat? There's just no win there, right? There's no win there. No win there. It's not a fair question. But speaking the truth in love. Now we know how to do that. There is an attitude about love. There's an attitude, and now there's truth. And we need to speak that. But can we say it in a way that's more palatable to people? Yes. If we understand where people are coming from and we can talk to them in a way that make it more palatable, yes, we need to speak that. We don't need to be using truth like a baseball bat. Does that make sense? Okay. Continuing on here in this passage, I need to get a Bible with bigger print all of a sudden. Y'all are saying it, and it's not very nice. But speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects unto Him who is the head. Again, measuring Christ, even Christ, whom the whole body being fitted and held together. All right, so Christ is the origin of the whole body. And this text here, the whole body being fitted, the Greek there is the actual pressing, is the idea of lining something up till it fits well together. And then being fitted together, or being, what does it say? Being fitted and held together is the idea of compressing something together. Who ever played with Legos growing up as a child? Legos were awesome, right? Who still plays with Legos? Who has Legos that they won't let their children play with? Okay, there we go. All right. So Legos are neat, all right? And the universal truth about Legos is the more you have of them, the more fun it is, right? Is that not the same here? The more there are of us, the more work we can get done. Fitted and pressed together is the idea of the text here. And what's really neat, if we look here, keep going at this, being fitted and held together by what every joint supplies. What holds us together? By what every joint supplies. Keep looking here. We'll keep reading this text. According to the proper working of each individual part. Each individual part. Is anybody left out in that? So if we're fitted and joined together, we are supplying the need for the whole body. But what's neat about this, this word proper here in this text, and this is a New American Standard, by the way. Does anybody else have a different word for proper? Effective. This word is actually where we get the word metered or measured from. So the measured working. So everybody has a measured part in the job. That makes sense, because not everybody has the same job, right? Look at Romans chapter 12. Can we skip over there? Romans chapter 12, verse 4-ish, I believe. Yes, 4 exactly. Romans 12, 4. For just as we have many members in one body, and all the members do not have the same function, so we, who are many, are one body in Christ, and individually members one of another. Since we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, each of us is to exercise them accordingly. And he goes on to talk about these gifts. So we each have a job to do. Is the job the same for every part? No. There are jobs that you have. This may be getting off into another study, but you are specifically groomed to do. You have people in your life, in your ring or circle of friends, that only you can minister to. You have gone through things in your life that have helped you to minister now. Struggles, considered all joy, my brethren, when you endure hardship. What in the world? That's Bible. Did you know my hardships in my life can prepare me to minister to somebody else? And there are things that y'all are going through right now that it's not really fun right now. But later on, somebody's going to be going through the same thing. And you know what? You're going to be able to say, I've been there. Here's my scar. Let me show you how to do it. Ministering to one another. Every joint supplying what is needed. All right, so now, when we think about ministry, to the proper working of each individual part, and what is the end cause? Causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. And so the end result of all these joints laboring together is growth. How does the body of Christ grow? Who adds to the church? God. How does the body grow? Through evangelism? So if we're a healthy body, we are naturally growing. People see us and say, I want what's different about your life? I want to be a part of that. If we are doing what we're supposed to be doing, we are naturally going to be growing. It's a natural concept. And we're supplying what is needed. Now we're going to apply that to ministry. And I want to look at something when we talk about family ministry. Here's the concept of the congregation ministering to one another. And when the congregation is healthy and doing this, and every joint is supplying what is needed, it grows in a healthy way. Now, the question is, what does that mean for us, right? What does that mean for us at Palm Beach Lakes? We're going to look at what some different modes of youth ministry or family ministry. Family ministry is what is commonly used. Youth and family ministry is another term. We're using family ministry or family youth ministry because it puts the emphasis on family and us as a family working with our youth. But here, looking at these different modes of youth work, there is the counseling care mode, there's a nuclear family mode, and the church as a family mode. And why am I wanting to look at these? The reason I want you to see this is to help us go through the process. We understand what youth ministry is, right? We have an idea of what youth ministry is. Yes? Yeah. We have a general idea of what that was. Typically, we have a guy come in, and his job is to minister to or serve the youth, right? Everything youth-related goes through him, all right? Now, the general idea now is we're changing that to where it's not just one guy, okay? But how does that work? Well, in a lot of different places, in I want to use the word Christendom, they've done it in different ways, and these are the main three ways that it's been done, okay? And we're going to look at these three modes real quickly, and then their pros and cons, strengths and weaknesses, and then what we're going to do, okay, if time allows, okay? So what is the counseling care mode? Can y'all read that? Okay. What is a counseling care approach? The counseling care approach to family ministry manifests itself primarily through education and programs. Since families often need someone with special training and education to help them, the crucial ministers within this mode are often paid staff. There are two metaphors that help us understand what is offered by this mode: guardrails and emergency room. Have you ever watched a child play video games, the racing video games? Maybe not, okay. Have you ever tried playing racing video games? Video games, when you're racing and you're first starting out and you're learning the controllers and all that kind of stuff, you're basically just ping-ponging off the guardrails, right? You know, what you hope your children don't do when they first start driving. So that's the idea of guardrails for this. We have enough programs in place to put guardrails up so they don't go flying off the runway, all right? That's an idea. And then when they do, we have the emergency room approach where we have special programs in place for crisis management type things. And so the idea is that we have enough programs in place that they'll ping pong off as they grow up to eventually they'll be able to drive straight down the road and keep it between the buoys, basically. Okay? So that's the idea. That's the main idea with this counseling care mode. The strengths and weaknesses. We know that real life is full of difficult situations and that the family life today does not look like the idyllic television sitcom. And there are not even a lot of idyllic sitcoms on TV anymore because that's just not popular. Do you understand what idyllic sitcom is? What is an idyllic sitcom example? Leave It to Beaver. Andy Griffith. I'm sorry? Cosby's. Okay, so that's the idyllic. So that's not even it anymore, okay? We must meet the real life needs of people. This mode teaches our congregation to, in order to prepare them, as well as to counsel them, to help them with and heal. This mode is based primarily on programs. Now, here's a problem. And often these programs are not well attended. Without participants, the potential healing and education this mode offers remains a mere potential and not reality. So what is it saying? You can have programs and they're not going to come. You can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink, right? It's that old adage, okay? So that's a problem with having programs. You can have the best program in the world, the silver bullet, right? And if nobody comes, it's just not going to work. All right, now look at the next, the nuclear family mode. This is not, it has nothing to do with anything radioactive, guys. The nuclear family mode. According to this mode of family ministry, parents are the primary spiritual nurturers of their children, and we agree with that. And it's the church's job to equip parents to accomplish this task. Children spend far more time with their families than they ever will at church. While a child may come to church for a maximum, this is a maximum. I did the Palm Beach Lakes numbers on this, and this is the depending on how long you stay before and after, you know, in the parking lot. The maximum you could be here would be 230 hours a year, maximum. And that's just coming. That's just coming on Sundays, Sunday nights, and Wednesday nights. That's just that. Okay. And what's this next number? They'll potentially spend over 7,000 hours in that same year with their families. So who has the more input with the child? And that's already taking out school. I've taken out the 8 hours a day of school. That's out of there. That's just at home, okay? Or wherever they are after school. In this mode, the church also offers resources to parents that help them in their task of teaching their children. The nuclear family model, at its best, aims at developing stronger family relations so that families will be more effective teachers and messengers of the love of Christ. Now, the strength, Scripture does affirm the unique quality of the parent and child relationship, as well as the marriage relationship. Both the Old and New Testaments give specific attention to particular nuclear family relationships. That's the strength. Some potential problems. Parents often feel inadequate to be primary teachers of their kids. This mode can also ignore relationships and needs of non-traditional families and singles within the church. Only families that fit the typical nuclear triad, mother, father, children, find supportive environment they need. So there's a downfall of just focusing on the nuclear family. What about church as a family mode? What is it? This mode understands that our most basic identity is in Christ, above all else. The church then has priority over nuclear family boundaries. In Christ, we have a new family. It is the new first family, a family of his followers that now demands primary allegiance. In fact, it demands allegiance even over the old first family, the biological family. Those who do the will of the Father are now brothers and sisters of Jesus and one another. Therefore, anyone in the church can form and maintain family ties with anyone else in Christ. Strength and weaknesses. Is that print too small for y'all to see? Okay. It is back there in the back. I have it printed off, and I can't read it right here. So, this mode is attentive to this teaching from Jesus about the new family. So here's a strength, formed from those who do God's will, Mark 3. We talked about that Sunday, remember? It also has the potential to emphasize this type of community without undermining biological family. Now, some potential problems. If a church puts so much emphasis on community, inclusion, and taking care of everybody's needs, it could undermine the family system by not supporting its uniqueness. In other words, fathers still need to be fathers, and the same is true for mothers and children. So there are still responsibilities that fathers have, there are still responsibilities that mothers have, and the same for children. We still have our individual responsibilities. There's a struggle to tangibly support healthy family systems. For example, the mentality may arise that we don't preach healthy marriages because it will exclude the single mom, and we want to love her and be a family with her. Or we don't have father-daughter events because it excludes all girls with negative relationships with their fathers. Another risk, that can accompany this mode is that despite the community emphasis, it can contribute to even greater fragmentation. That means we're not cohesive. Does that make sense? Because we are family, because may have the idea that the youth may have the idea that we don't need adults because we are family for each other. Now, is that true? Can they have a close-knit group within the youth? Yes, and we're going to try and foster that. But do they need to be separate from the adults? No. Since when can youth lead youth? Was it Lord of the Flies? Was that? I never really read that book. I heard tell that youth don't lead youth. It just doesn't work, right? The blind leading the blind. It doesn't work. I'm not saying you're blind, guys. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying we've been there. Despite what you think, we've been there. Not too distant past for some of us. Not them so much, but for some of us. So that can't work. That can't work. So that is the struggle. So when we look at the different modes, so it's not the counseling care mode. It's not that. It's not the nuclear family mode. And it's not this. So what are we going to do? If it's not these three, what are we going to do at Palm Beach Lakes? Well, we need a target. I went backwards there. Wrong button. We need a goal. We need a target. Does that image communicate what we need? If you're going to try and to achieve something, anything, what do you need? A goal, an end result. What do we want as our end result for anything? Family Youth Ministry Vision Statement. At Palm Beach Lakes, the family of God is actively involved in the faith building of the youth. And we said this Sunday, right? Strengthening of the family unit and the edification of the body. We seek to achieve this through Bible education, congregational development, and providing opportunities for spiritual development. But that's still not the end. That's still not the goal. Does that make sense? That's the how. How is that the how? Is that a right sense? Is that a good question? Can you tell me how this is still process? Am I asking the right questions? That's what we're visualizing. This is what we're visualizing, right? Here's the process of what we're trying to do, right? The process. Palm Beach Lakes family is actively involved in the faith building of the youth. So we want to build faith. That's a process. That's a process. We want to strengthen the family unit. That's still a process. And edify the body. That is still a process. And we saw how to do that already in Ephesians chapter 4, right? When we are all working together, ministering towards one another. And we're going to talk about how later. But if we're ministering toward one another, that's still a process. And we seek to achieve this through Bible education. We need knowledge. Bible education. Congregational involvement. We need to be involved with one another. We need to be involved in each other's lives. So we need education. We need involvement. And we need providing opportunities of spiritual development. If you're going to build or help somebody build their faith, can you just give them a book and say, here you go, read the Bible? You know what that's like? That's like telling somebody, well, you need to build a boat. Here's the lumber. Good luck. That's just knowledge-based thinking, right? And there are some people who are like that. There are some people who are knowledge-based people. You give me the stuff, you give me the diagram, and then I'll get it done, right? There are people like that. But there are other people who need more hands-on. You need to show me how to do it. So with faith, if we're working together as a congregation, what does that look like? Sunday mornings, that's getting Bible, right? That's getting Bible. That's getting the lumber, so to speak, for our boat. But parents, throughout the week, you need to be showing your children how to put it together. What are some examples of showing children how to put that boat together?
The way you live your life.
Imagine that. Could it be that simple? And we'll talk about stats and that kind of stuff next Sunday, but you know, the number one thing that children need to see is that their parents believe it and are doing it. That's been studied. You know, we'll talk about that next Wednesday. Did I say next Sunday? Next Wednesday we'll talk about that. That's the number one thing. And they need to see other people doing it, not just their parents. Because then it's legitimate, right? It's not just the parents telling them what they need to do. It's legitimate if a group or community of believers are doing the same thing. So we as a family, as a congregation, are doing this. Are we too deep for Wednesday night after working all day? Are we getting there? So here's what we're working on. Here's what we're working towards. It's still a process. We seek to achieve this through Bible education, congregational involvement. That means we need to be involved in each other's lives. We need to be exampling. We need to be showing people how this works. This is what faith looks like in action. Did the disciples of Christ get to see that? 3 years they spent with him. Teach us how to pray. Teach us how to pray. Did they learn how to give? Did they learn how to deal with people? Did they learn how to touch people? Did they learn how to see people? You want to do an interesting study on Christ? Look at all the verbs on Christ. The things that he did, the actions he took with people. Now, parents, apply that to you first. Because I guarantee you, parents, your children will not have any faith higher than yours. And then model that. Teach us how to pray. So Christ was an example to his disciples. We need to be examples to people around us, to grow up, to help us each other grow up. We're not going to tell them, oh, you just need to grow up. Have you ever gone to anybody and said, I'm struggling with my faith? Well, you just need to have more faith. That's the answer. I'm struggling with this in my life. Well, if you just had more faith, that, you know. No. If I'm struggling because my spouse died, no amount of faith is just going to pull me up. We need to be there for each other. I know it's an extreme example, and Josh, you're getting pretty deep for a Wednesday night, man. I just worked all day. But do you understand what I'm saying? We work together. This is everybody working together. And how is it? We're modeling this to our youth, but we're working with each other. Congregational involvement, providing opportunities for spiritual development. That's where programs come into place. Now, I don't like using the word programs, but it's just the word we have to use, right? But programs, we don't have programs just to have programs. We have programs because there's an end game. There's an end game. The program in itself, when it's operating and functioning, that's not the end game. The product is the end game, right? A factory is not the end game for a company. It's just the how. I don't know if I can use this example, Dan, but was the creation the end game for God? Was that his end game? From the very beginning, he had an in-game scenario in place. He wanted all the people that went through life, that loved him, obeyed him, and wanted to worship him in heaven with him. That was the end game. That wanted to be there. That was his. I'm not presuming to know the mind of God, but from what I read, that's what he wants of us. Obedience. He wants those that love him, that diligently seek after him. That was his end game. So what is our end game? This is the how. Guys, this is the how. We're getting there. We're getting there. Almost there. That is an internationally known sign for you're boring me, man. That, everywhere, that's the truth. Healthy and evangelistic. Remember we talked about Sunday what sound doctrine means. It means healthy doctrine. So if we as a congregation, as a body of Christ, if we're healthy and evangelistic, we're growing, right? So we want a healthy and evangelistic congregation. That's an end game. We want healthy and evangelistic families. That's end game. We want healthy and evangelistic individuals, youth or otherwise. That's end game. That's what we want. Am I communicating where we're going with this? This is not... youth are involved, yes. But if we're all providing our measure, what does the Bible say will happen? We all grow. Next Wednesday, we're going to talk about the challenges to this. There are challenges. There will be challenges. And we're going to talk about that. But what I wanted us to... did I go backwards again? I did. I'll put that down. We're done. I'm not getting along with technology. It's going to take me a while to get used to that. So anyway, so the end game is this. Next Wednesday, we're going to talk about what our challenges are. But guys, I want this to be in our minds. We are all going to be working on this. Our first challenge, can I give you a heads up for next Wednesday? Yes. The bell said yes. The next challenge, or our first challenge, will be you. Our first challenge to this will be you. Have you bought into this? And are you going to work? Or are you going to say, well, Josh, that's just too much. We're not going to do that. Or you're going to say, well, I'm working a lot. Whatever excuse you have, our first challenge will be you. You know what? Joe, can I tell him? Is Joe even, he's not even in here. So I can. So Joe asked me, you know, when y'all did the whole, you know, Josh and Kara back together and they're here, and it's really awkward, by the way. I understand y'all showing us the love, but it can be awkward. But So Joe asked me, he said, well, what's your number one challenge? And I said, Joe, I don't know if I want to tell them what our number one challenge is going to be for all this. And he said, what's your number one challenge going to be to this working? I said, well, them. And I mean that lovingly, truth and love. And that, guys, if we don't buy into this, it's not going to happen. I can get up here and do a song and dance. I can be as excited as Jeff Bledsley for So, but if it's not going to happen unless we are all bought in. Because we all have to work together. This is not Josh spinning his legs off, okay? I'm going to be coming to you and asking you to do a specific job, okay? Be waiting for that. Or we may be advertising, say, Josh needs this, or the youth need this, or this is going to be happening. That's your time to say, that's my measured part. That's why I can do that. I can be involved. All right, we're done. That's it. Can we be excited about this?
Yes.
Can you do something for me? And for us, rather? Can you be praying about it? Be praying about it. Be praying for us. Be praying for our youth. Be praying for our families. Be praying for the congregation that we will buy into this and we'll do this. And we'll say it's not just for us, guys. We're starting a legacy. Ever thought about that? It goes beyond right now. We're starting a legacy. And we all need to be a part of it. Let's end with a prayer. Father in heaven, we are so extremely blessed to be your servants, to be your ministers in your kingdom, Father. We thank you for that challenge. We thank you for that opportunity. We thank you for all that's been done for the end game so that we can be with you. Father, help us to take up this challenge and to do the best we can, to do our measured part, to help the body grow, and to help the lost know you. It is in your Son's name that we pray. Amen.